Just to give you some kind of idea of the scale of Storm Éowyn so far, 715,000 households now without power is the latest from our reporter Jackie Fox. Another example, 230 flights in and out of Dublin Airport cancelled. Keith Leonard, chair of the National Emergency Coordination Group, joins us. You've been warning about Storm Éowyn for days, Keith Leonard. It was well warned about, but so far this is a record-breaking storm.
Absolutely, you know, a night of record-breaking wind speeds really across the country, and the associated, unfortunately, huge disruption. That figure from power outages from ESB seems to be growing, you know, even between 7 o'clock and now it's gone from 560 to over 700,000 and maybe likely to go up even further. So, you know, given the scale of power supply disruption, you know, it's going to take some time to restore all those customers. And really, the National Emergency Coordination Group will be trying to consider how to support best AirGrid and ESB networks today. That'll be really a key objective for us today.
And many of their staff, I mean, they've been put to the pin of their collar by the recent snowstorm. They've got a really tough week ahead of them clearing up after all of this and restoring power to people.
Absolutely. It's going to be a huge operation, and we're going to be looking at support from Defence Forces, Civil Defence, and our local authorities, of course, are going to be out as well as early as possible from this morning, trying to clear roads and make sure that access, again, particularly prioritising where ESB networks and AirGrid need to get access to restore both the high voltage system, which is affected, and the local lines as well.
And of course, we were hearing earlier from the Garda about there's been, you know, a serious incident in Donegal. We're hearing about trees down all around the country. The message to drivers, it can't be repeated often enough, can it?
You know, people are going to go out after this storm, and you know that what I said yesterday carries through to today. You have to expect to meet a tree down around every corner that you're going around today and into the next few days. It's going to take a long time to clear all the roads and clear all the trees, particularly along the western seaboard that has been really very badly affected. So very dangerous conditions. And the other thing is, without those numbers of power lines down now, you know, again, live power lines down across roads, very, very hazardous and dangerous conditions for people walking, people driving. So, you know, we can't emphasize too strongly how careful people need to be in the next couple of days.
And the point of all these warnings, the point of all this communication is to try to save lives, isn't it?
Absolutely. That's our number one objective when we meet as the National Emergency Coordination Group, is life safety and ensuring that people have as much information as we can possibly get out there as to what the conditions are going to be like and what hazards people are likely to face. But definitely the secondary objective really will be that very large operation now to try and restore normality.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us with that. And once again, thanks to all of the emergency services and all of the people who are working so hard to try to keep everyone safe throughout Storm Éowyn. The time now 8:15.
And the chief executive of the HSE, Bernard Gloucester, joins us now. And Bernard Gloucester, thank you for your time this morning.
Morning, Mary.
The scale and potential danger of this storm was well flagged. What measures did you put in place and how is it impacting now on patients and on service users?
Sure. So we have three categories that we look at when we have an event like this, and particularly one of this exceptional strength. So the first group are our, what we call our routine services in health centres, primary care centres, day centres, which supports older people, people with disability, people with enduring mental illness. And all of those are closed. All of those buildings are closed, simply not safe for people to travel to them or to try to maintain them. The second category of services we have, which is somewhat more sensitive, are domiciliary services that we provide to people at home, particularly home help and home support. Some 55,000 people would be in receipt of home health services in their home. And during the red phase today, our staff won't be able to travel to those people. But as soon as we get a recovery from the weather, the people who are most vulnerable in that group, the people who are alone, or the people of particular personal care dependencies, there will be the most significant dimension we have to try to maintain at full scale. Then the third categories or not.
Sorry, Bernard Loster, there was a bit of a blip on the line there. Just sure. Go back to the home help situation. You said when the red level is lifted, is it when that people will do their best to get out to their clients?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Look, we have a fantastic network of our own home support staff and staff.
Are you still with us, Bernard Loster? No, we'll come back to Bernard Loster again. Just a blip on the line there.
Let's go to Fergal McCann from AIR, and obviously Storm Éowyn having a huge impact on electricity supplies around the country. What about the broadband, Fergal?
Good morning, Mary. Yeah, we've seen some widespread disruption to telecommunications services here this morning. So on the broadband side, as of 8 a.m, we're seeing about 11,000 broadband customer faults and about 10,000 on our fixed voice network. Also seeing an impact to mobile network sites, related to power availability. So approximately 500 sites impacted across the country at this point. We have quite a lot of network sites on the fixed network side and the mobile site on backup power and generator at this point. So, they're still continuing to support services, but we'll have a heavy reliance on power recovery as the day progresses.
And the backup power and batteries and generators you're relying on, will they be able to keep you going throughout the storm?
Yeah, we've put significant investment into backup capability on all of our sites. So they will sustain for a number of hours. But at this point, some of them have been running for 3 to 4 hours already, with initial alarm alerts were coming in from quite late last night. So they're already running for quite a number of hours at this point. So we'd hope they would sustain our services for the next number of hours.
All right. And that's quite a lot of resilience that's been built into the system. I'm not sure many people would have been aware of that you had that backup facility.
Yeah, we invest significantly in supporting our customers. So, we've quite an extensive fleet of fixed generators and mobile generators on standby that will be deployed, once we get out of red warnings later today. So once it's safe to do so, our field teams are ready and fueled to go with those two kind of priority sites to support our customers.
Fergal McCann from AIR, thank you very much indeed for that update at 19 minutes past eight.
And Margaret Attridge of Irish Water, good morning to you.
Good morning.
So what can you tell us about water supply at the moment, or is it too early for you to assess?
It is early, but we through our control centre in Dublin, we do have visibility of the operation of 75% of our treatment plants across the country would serve the majority of the population. It's the bigger treatment plants. So what we are seeing is that we have lost power to treatment plants that serve a population of about 150,000 people. Now, most of our treatment plants would have storage, okay? So that storage will keep people in supply of water for a good bit of the day. But what we are asking people to allow time for our crews to get out and assess the damage and to link in with the ESB to get some power supply returned to those sites as quickly as possible. We are asking people to conserve water. But what we are doing on our side is... we have, in the last few days, we've been getting generators out to the sites where they were most at risk. So that's the out in the peninsulas up along the west coast, but also focusing in areas. And, we're expecting the storm to hit through the Midlands as it has. So in counties such as Offaly, we would have had generators there ready to go on sites that were supplying the hospital in Tullamore and the brain injury clinic there. So we've been looking at critical, essential supplies across the country where we can, we have to get
putting backup measures in place. But we saw during and in the aftermath of the snow, you lost power to a number of treatment plants, and it took a while for the water reserves to climb back to the necessary levels again. Is that what we're likely to see here?
We are, but in preparing for this event. And one of the worst affected areas there in the last the rain storm Dara and the snowstorm was Leitrim, the area of Carrick and Shannon and Drumshambo. It's a very hilly, forested area. It was an extensive network, and when the reservoir empties, it can take an awful long time, even if you get power restored, to get water back right out to the ends and to the people who live on high ground. So we put generators in there now over the last few days. So hopefully we've protected some of those areas where people have probably suffered enough at this stage.
Just finally, Margaret, how can people check if they are among the 150,000 that are at risk now of water loss later in the day?
People can find real-time information on supply issues in their local area on our website, which is www.water.ie. We do have a text alert system. So on our website, people can register for that by just supplying their phone number and their air code. And if you have any questions, queries or issues, you can contact our customer contact centre on 1800 278 278.
Okay, Margaret Attridge of Irish Water. Thank you very much indeed. 22 minutes past eight now.
And let's catch up again with Sinead Hussey, our Midlands correspondent. And as you were telling us earlier, Sinead, normally the Midlands can expect, you know, not to get the worst brunt of a storm. This time, the forecasts were different.
Yeah, and look, as you're listening and hearing there as well, you know, the power outages are really impacting this region today. And they started being reported from around about 2 o'clock this morning, even though the red alert actually only kicked in for this region at about 6 o'clock this morning. So, you know, the wind has really been brewing since the early hours of this morning. We're hearing reports of roofs coming off sheds, slates coming off roofs. And that's even before, Anya, that people are even able to go outside and assess the damage. There's a report of widespread debris from the storm's impact overnight. The N4, the main Dublin to Sligo road, is impacted between Mullingar and Longford. A number of fallen trees. The village of Newtown Forbes blocked on both sides by fallen trees. Laois County Council reporting fallen trees right across the county. We understand Roscommon has been significantly impacted. Around 10,000 houses there without power. And again, fallen trees, a huge issue. And as I said, you know, it's going to take some time to assess the full scale of the damage, and even when the damage is assessed, it's going to take time to clear roads and repair damage. It is getting bright now, you know, damage may be easier to see, but people really need to heed the warnings and stay indoors until it's safe. Local authorities have set up response teams. They're linking in. People need to link in with them where it's possible. But, you know, people will have to have patience. It's going to take quite some time to mobilise staff, to respond to damage, and safety is paramount. And until that red alert is lifted later on this morning, mid-morning, 11 o'clock in this region, you know, even after that too, you know, weather is going to be still quite extreme. So it really can't be stressed enough. People just need to take care.
Sinead, thank you for that update. 24 minutes past eight.
Now, just an update on Bernard Gloucester of the HSE, because I know people would like to hear what he had to say about health services. He was telling us, now, we are trying to get him back, but like a lot of the country, he's having difficulty with power and his telephone connection. He was telling us about all day centres being closed. He was also telling us that home helps are not going out at the moment. When the red alert is lifted in the various areas around the country, they will be reassessing. They'll be trying to get out to the most needy cases. I can also tell you all non-urgent hospital procedures have been cancelled today. People have been advised about that. Emergency departments are open and operating, and there's also been special systems put in place around chemotherapy and dialysis patients and so on. But we will try and get him back and have a further conversation with him. And in the meantime, we can go back to our reporter Fergal O'Brien, who's in Galway. You were in Salt Hill earlier, Fergal, and you were describing the situation in and around the county. What's the latest?
Yeah, that's right, Mary. I'm still here in the Salt Hill area overlooking Galway Bay. The winds here in the Salt Hill area seem to have eased somewhat. They're still very strong, very powerful, but certainly not as strong as we experienced over the overnight when, as I think I was making the point earlier, they certainly were battering this part of the country. As I look out now on Galway Bay, I've a better view because it's daylight has broken here, and the sea around Galway Bay is very rough at the moment, and there has been some overtopping, even though the tides weren't particularly high during the worst of the storm overnight. But there has been flooding in around the car park areas around the Galway Aquarium, which is here in the Salt Hill area. Now, the roads along the Prom and all the access roads are closed off for the duration of the red warning, and also the car parks in this area were also closed by Galway City Council as part of the precautions. Now, the City Council are reporting that there have been a number of reports of wires down in parts of the city, also fallen trees, which are causing some issues in parts of the city, and also reports from Galway City Council of a shed has been blown over into from one garden into another. The roof has come off a house, and a lot of reports of guttering and slates coming off houses and falling onto cars, damaging cars in certain parts of the city. Now, Galway County Council says that they do expect that there will be some damaged infrastructure around the county. The teams have not had an opportunity yet to go out to assess the impact of the damage. It's probably the same case in most parts of the country, that teams from the local authorities won't actually be going out to carry out full assessments until the red weather warnings have been lifted. So it's expected that it will be a while yet before we know the extent of the damage that has been caused around Galway. But we do know that this county recorded the strongest gust and indeed the strongest average wind. It had been forecast that parts of the west would probably bear the brunt of this storm in terms of the strength of the winds. And at Mace Head at 5 this morning, a gust of 183 kilometres per hour is recorded at the weather station in Carna, and that's the highest ever recorded gust. Also, the mean wind speed, the highest ever mean wind speed was recorded there also this morning, a speed of 135 kilometres per hour at 4 a.m.
It's a humdinger, all right. All right, Fergal O'Brien in Galway, thank you very much. 28 minutes past 8.
Brian Tapley, ESB Networks Manager, good morning to you. 715,000 people without power. Your staff have a huge job ahead of you.
Good morning. Yeah, this is as the figure stands at the moment, this is unprecedented. It's widespread and the damage is extensive to the network. It's going to be easily a week, if not more, before we have all customers restored. And unfortunately, that figure of 715 will increase over the course of today because we're still in the middle of the red alert.
So it could get up to 1 million. It could get up to, what, a fifth of the population without power?
I'm not sure exactly what it'll increase to, but it'll certainly get above 715,000 before the day is finished. And we'll be only dealing with emergency calls this morning while we're in a red alert. We'll be doing our damage assessment in the afternoon as soon as the red alert passes. So unfortunately, we won't, given the numbers that are out, we won't have all our damage assessment done and won't be able to give accurate restoration times on power check probably until Saturday, until we've put eyes on as much of our network as possible.
What is an emergency that you respond to in the middle of a red alert?
So if we got a call to say that a power line was down across a public road, across a school, across a playground, we would there's a risk that someone could come across that and make contact with a live network, we would treat that as an emergency or extreme danger call. So we will isolate that and make that safe. But what we won't do during a red alert is if power goes in a particular area, we won't go out to patrol that and repair that if it's just a power outage with no risk of extreme danger.
And I presume people would have sense, but obviously if there's any kind of power line down and with winds blowing, you know, people need to stay so far away from that because it can be blown all over the place.
Absolutely. So when the red alert does pass and people are out and about, they will come across an awful lot of debris. Some of that will be our network on the ground. Treat that network. That network is live, so don't approach it. Don't try to move it off the road or off the path. Contact our emergency number, 1800 372 999. Although this will take us a number of days, we will eventually get everyone back. But what we don't want to have happen is anyone get significantly injured or hurt during the course of our restoration. So that is our number one priority. And then obviously getting everyone back is after that.
And do you anticipate you need help for your crews in the week, maybe even more ahead, as you try to get the system back up and running?
Yeah, so we have all our crews kind of ready and our emergency plans have been stood up for a number of days now. We've all our contracting partners available and deployed. We've reached out to other utilities in the UK and likewise they have with us. So there's a lot of impact to this storm, not just in Ireland. But certainly we'll get support also from the Air Corps, the Army, and we'll work closely with local authorities and other you know, likes of Irish Water. So we have the call out there for support. We have all our resources available and deployed. So yeah, it'll be an all of company effort, and we'll have to work very closely with all our partners to get through this over the next week.
All right. Well, good luck to you and all your staff in doing that. And as you say, 1800 372 999 for people wanting to contact the ESB in an emergency.
And you're still with Morning Ireland. And Mary Hayes, the director of the Dublin Region Homeless Executive, joins us as well. Mary, have all rough sleepers been looked after overnight and into this morning?
Well, we put provision in place all day yesterday, but there were at the end of the night a small number of people who still refused beds. Now, I can say thankfully we've been contacted early this morning. The Free Phone and the outreach team have been working since early this morning, and we have some people coming in even at this late juncture. But we did get more or less everybody in yesterday. I can say that all the day services, Focus Ireland's coffee shop, Merchants Quay, Alice Leahy Trust, everybody was sending us rough sleepers or people who wouldn't normally come into beds. They contacted us throughout the day yesterday, but regrettably, there were still a few who stayed out.
I know, but you did your best. But were you able to find accommodation for everybody who wanted to come in?
We did. We always have kind of a contingency plan for the worst case scenario for extreme weather. But we didn't even need to go into that. Actually, we had enough beds in the system last night, thankfully, to accommodate everybody.
Now, I know your writ doesn't run, if you like, to the IPASS situation. But do you know what about the international protection applicants that are in that system? How many of them are on the streets and were they looked after?
I do know we contacted IPASS yesterday, and they were very, very quick to assure us they did have emergency beds in place, and they were able to accommodate people on a short term temporary basis to get through the cold weather period or the extreme weather period. So with our own outreach teams and all the day services, they have contact details for IPASS, and they were able to direct people there.
Because, you know, even like yesterday evening, I saw tents blown around the place. So people who have rough sleepers who had been dependent on those tents for accommodation to provide them with whatever little bit of shelter they got from them, a lot of them are going to be battered and in bits. They're going to need a lot of new protection and new equipment.
And I guess from our point of view, we did Dublin Simon Community route from 7 o'clock to 1 o'clock last night, 7 o'clock yesterday morning to 1 o'clock last night. They were advising people that the tents would offer no protection in the conditions that were coming. And you're absolutely right. And so, I mean, what I would say to you is the majority of people came in and took up beds, thankfully. And our view is always tents offer very poor protection anyway, that really there isn't really a substitute for actual shelter. And by and large, you know, the numbers of rough sleeping would be less than 1% of the whole homeless population. But we keep targeting them. They're a key group for us in terms of either housing or emergency accommodation to keep them safe.
All right. Mary Hayes, Director of the Dublin Region Homeless Executive. Thank you very much. 9 minutes to 9 now.
And our reporter Jackie Fox has been here since the early hours following the impact of Storm Éowyn. Jackie, just give us the picture as you have it at the moment.
Yeah, we'll go to the ESB first. You know, they are calling Storm Éowyn, this is a record-breaking storm for them. And it has said it has never experienced so many power cuts in this country. And they've described it as unprecedented and widespread. At the moment, it has confirmed 715,000 homes and businesses are without power. However, more disruption is expected this morning. And in comparison, if you look at storms Dara and Ophelia, they saw around 390,000 power outages. So a huge difference there. Now, ESB Networks said there is extensive damage to electricity infrastructure, and crews will start restoring power only when it is safe to do so. And also in Northern Ireland, around 93,000 are without electricity there.
All right, Jackie, thank you for that. And Mary, you've got Bernard Gloucester back from the HSE.
Yes, I hope I have Bernard Gloucester, the CEO of the HSE, back on the line like so many others. Bernard, you're struggling with power outages and phone difficulties and so on. You were explaining, you are with us, you are on a clearer line as well. You were explaining to us that all daycare centres were closed, that Home Helps would do their best to get to the most severe cases once the red alert has been lifted and it's safe to do so. What else is happening within the health system?
So the third part that I didn't get to, Mary, is obviously the part that is most immediate for us to maintain, and that's our emergency services. Our National Ambulance Service have to work on a risk assessment of every call they receive. Like everybody else, they struggle with things like power. Eight of our stations this morning are without power. That doesn't prevent the ability to deploy crews, but it certainly makes it more challenging for those crews. Our radio network has held up so far, but it is only emergency calls. And indeed, we had one crew in the west of Ireland who had to take shelter in Connemara on their way to a call. So lots of challenges like that. And then the other part, of course, is the emergency departments of our hospitals, which continue to function. And within hospital, all of the patients we had yesterday, it's very unlikely we will get discharges today. So there's a lot of care will be backed up, and we had to make arrangements for staff to come in earlier to make sure shifts are covered. And I'm certainly very grateful to all of them. A lot of people do take a lot of risk in situations like this to make sure that those emergency services continue.
You know, I'm thinking this morning as well of people who are getting chemotherapy treatment, dialysis patients, pregnant women going into labour in maybe remote parts of the country. What sort of contingency is there for all of that?
So for people who are in active treatment, which we would call time critical, like dialysis or indeed different cancer treatment regimes, their treatment centres would have contacted them yesterday if they were booked in today. And in many cases, people would have either had their dialysis or treatment last evening or later on this evening when the raid passes. In relation particularly to expectant mums, and people going into labour, they're exactly the calls that the National Ambulance Service, of course, will prioritise to get to response to, and all of our services would be targeted at making sure that we get to respond to people who have those absolutely time critical needs. There'll be no question of effort, but there is no doubt that the road network, the electricity network, and the wind as it rolls across the country in red, it does restrict even the blue light service's capacity to respond immediately.
All right, Bernard Loster, appreciate your time. Thank you very much. 5 minutes to nine.
Well, our three-hour Morning Ireland is coming to a close. RTÉ, of course, will be continuing to keep you updated throughout the day on all our platforms. And Gerry Murphy, Met Air and Senior Forecaster, you're back with us, Gerry. And I mentioned Éigin na Gaoithe Mhóra earlier on, and I was just thinking, because I looked up a couple of facts and figures since, and, you know, you're here from Met Air, but back 1839, January the 6th, we'd no Met Éireann. We didn't have any of these warnings or forecasts. So this barreled in on top of people. 300 lives were lost. A quarter of all the homes in Dublin were damaged. Thousands left homeless. 42 ships sunk. And the livestock starvation because so many supplies for animal feed destroyed. So, you know, very often people will give out to Met Éireann, give out to RTÉ, say, you know, even though this is a record-breaking storm, people will say, oh, all those warnings, is it being overblown? It saves lives.
Yes, absolutely. It really, over the last number of years, both in terms of the accuracy of the computers for numerical web for predicting the weather, and then not only that, but the whole area of communication and coordination with regard to weather. The first, there was a very significant storm in 2014, Storm Darwin. But that wasn't actually named by ourselves or by a meteorological service. It was actually named by the media. And that was the first named storm. And that heralded then the naming of the storm. So we've only really been naming the storms in the past 10 years. We've only been colour coding the storms in the past 10 years. But these have been two huge communication tools in order to give people much more awareness of what's coming up. Secondly, then, the forecasts have become more accurate over the years and increase in accuracy all the time. And then that's coupled with the National Emergency Coordination Group, the NECG and the NDFEM, where we can coordinate all this preparation for storms. So in the past, where many lives were lost, we shouldn't be losing lives now. Because if people heed the warnings that they're given, they will stay out of the storm.
And you have an update on those warnings for us now, Gerry, based on this fantastic data we're able to gather.
Well, basically, the update on the warnings is that the red warnings continue to be in place for the time. There's no change to the red warnings, which means that basically for southern counties and southeastern counties, they still go to 10 a.m. Then for Clare and Galway to 11, for Mayo, Sligo to 12, and for Dublin, all the Midlands counties, they stay up until 11 as well. And then Donegal, of course, up in the north, stays valid until 2 p.m. So if you taking away the warnings for a second, if you draw the country into, if you take a line from, as I say, from about West Clare to Dublin, in the late morning, you start to see the winds there decreasing. Another line that's worth taking then is, so north of that for the rest of the morning, extremely strong winds, ultimate care needed. Then from around noon onwards, if you take a line from Dundalk to Belmullet, that line, then you begin to see the winds south of that beginning to decrease as well. And all the time then for sort of Leitrim, Sligo, Donegal, and for Northern Ireland as well, still continuing very stormy. And eventually it does clear away as we go through this evening.
And Storm Éowyn, the one thing you can say about it, even though it's not over yet, Gerry, it's going to be a record breaker?
Well, it is already a record breaker with regard to winds, and that's the all-time records for Ireland. And absolutely no doubt that there'll be specific weather stations throughout the country that will have broken the records as well.
Gerry, thank you for everything you've done for us this morning, and to all of your colleagues at Met Éireann for all those warnings and the information that does help to keep us safe.